Good morning and welcome to the May session of the Nebraska Court of Appeals. My name is Frankie Moore. I'm in my office in North Platte, and I'm pleased to be joined this morning with our Chief Judge Michael Pirtle from Omaha and Judge Rico Bishop from Lincoln. This case is State versus Greenwood, number 20-694. And we are being live streamed this morning by NET, and the arguments will be archived on our judicial branch website. So to the extent you have anything sensitive or confidential, please keep that in mind. So with that, we will begin. And Mr. Brackel, you may proceed.
Thank you. As I said before, good morning to all of you. Good morning, Chief Judge Pirtle, and Judge Moore, Judge Bishop, and Ms. Klein, and Judge Smith, who has efficiently running all this show. Essentially, the events that brought us to this point today began around 7:45 p.m. on August 20th, 2019. At that time, my client, Ms. Greenwood, was in need of some cigarettes, and she lived about 7 or 8 blocks from her cigarette store, which is in downtown Fairbury. And so she took off walking west towards the downtown because she didn't have a car. And after she had walked about 4 blocks, a vehicle pulled up next to her that had 2 occupants in it by the name of Lance Powers, who was driving the vehicle, and another occupant, a passenger by the name of Matthew Koss. And they offered her a ride, and she told them where she was going, and they said, "We're going right by the place." So she hopped in the vehicle and they proceeded on west. After going about a block, they intersected with a police cruiser who was going north on another street while they were going west. And the officer noticed that they didn't have a license plate on the vehicle, so he decided to make a traffic stop, which was fine. He really had to. And so two blocks later, they actually stopped the vehicle. And at that time, they were roughly 3 blocks from the cigarette store. The officer making the traffic stop was Cody Berry. We have no problem, I want to stress to you, with the traffic stop. It's fine. Shortly after Officer Berry stopped the vehicle and started to do the usual for a traffic stop, he was joined by another officer by the name of Todd Lytle. And my client, of course, one of the points that we made is that she was in the vehicle only for about 3 blocks. And of course, the destination of my client was to go to a store that specialized in just selling cigarette products, which was called D's Butts at 508 D Street. And of course, she communicated where she was going, not only when she got in the vehicle, several times while in the vehicle, while all the officers were around and all that. And she also communicated to them that the cigarette store closed at 8 o'clock, which is about 10 or 15 minutes later. Once the car stopped, the engine was turned off, and the car had no air circulation whatsoever, no air conditioner, no... only thing it had was some roll-down windows on 2 doors. And it was facing west, it was in the sun, as I had in our brief and our evidence. Basically, at that time, the ambient temperature in Fairbury was 82 degrees. And of course, you've been inside of a car here last week. We have the hot days, you know, it gets really hot rather quickly. And so the officer did what he should do. He basically checked them out to see if they had any outstanding warrants, checked out their driver's licenses. It turned out one guy, the other passenger, had a pickup warrant, a pickup order on his license. And so then the officer returned the items to them, and that took about 15 minutes to do. And at that point, the officer goes back to his vehicle to start writing out the ticket for the car not having the proper documentation. And my client shortly thereafter gets out of the vehicle, wanting to get on her way to her cigarette store, when she was told to basically get back in the vehicle. And like I said, when she got out of the Powers vehicle, about 16 minutes had elapsed, And when she was outside the vehicle standing on the north side, the officer, Cody, told her to put her fanny pack and her backpack on the street, not in the vehicle, but on the street, behind the Powers vehicle, and told her to wait right where she was. So she sat down on the curb and waited. It turned out she waited there about 45 minutes. And in the meantime, Officer Lytle had showed up. And Officer Cody Berry had apparently decided that he wanted to search the vehicle. And so he ordered that everybody get out of the vehicle. At that time, the two passengers were already out. And so the only person that had to get out was Mr. Powers. And when he got out, and a meth pipe dropped out of his pocket. And at that point, he was placed under arrest. I guess the thing that we're stressing here is that when they got around to searching my client's fanny pack and backpack, my client had been out of the vehicle for a total 45 minutes, and she was basically a passenger on the sidewalk or on the street.
Mr. Bradley,
somebody have a question?
Yes. Would you agree that, you know, there's precedent to establish that if your client had still remained in the car with her backpack, and probable cause or reasonable suspicion arose to search the car, that her backpack would have been, you know.
Yes, I agree. If she'd been in the vehicle, and I would agree if she showed any indication of going back into the vehicle with her backpack and that, she probably would say no, okay. But she made it very clear she wasn't going back in.
Okay, so she's out of the vehicle now. The backpack was susceptible to a search when it was in the vehicle. She has now taken it out of the vehicle. And so your position is that since it was out of the vehicle, it is now no longer susceptible to a lawful search. To me, there's a question about when reasonable suspicion and probable cause arose. And do you think it matters that since your client was outside the vehicle with her backpack and fanny pack, you know, 45 minutes later, whenever it was, that the officer then had his reasonable suspicion, or because the pipe fell off the driver's out of his pants at that point, since the backpack was already outside the car, does that make a difference that the probable cause didn't arise until after she was already out of the car?
Yes. Here later on, I was going to stress to you, under the case of State versus Perry, once she's outside of the vehicle and that long, she's basically a pedestrian. And when they're going to do a search of a pedestrian, the Supreme Court in the case of State versus Perry said, get a search warrant. And I guess that's the other part of my point, Judge Moore. They had plenty of time to get a warrant here. There are actually three officers there. And I think in my brief, I pointed out that when Todd Lytle arrived, the assistant, he essentially could have taken over the traffic stop, and Officer Berry could have gone and applied for the search warrant. Now, I'm not positive about this, but the video seemed to show that they can do everything in their cruiser right now. And I think they could have, Officer Berry could have actually typed in a search warrant affidavit in his cruiser and had it sent on to the judge while he was there, and he didn't do that. I think it's a crucial point in this case that because she was out of the vehicle, definitely out, and for a long time, and you know that all the reasoning for the automobile exception, such as the vehicle could be quickly moved. Well, she wasn't the driver of the vehicle; she wasn't about to move it. Secondly, obtaining weapons, the videos showed her backpack and fanny pack were standing right by Officer Lytle and under the view of all the officers there, except maybe Officer Berry for a short time. And of course, there was no danger of her destroying evidence because she wasn't even in close proximity to her backpack and her fanny pack.
Are you familiar with the facts of State versus Lange, where a passenger was in the car and she was asked to get out of the car and she came out of the car with her purse, right? So the purse had been in the car. Now she's outside of the car with her purse. And our Nebraska Supreme Court said it was lawful for the officer to search her purse, even though she was now outside of the car.
No, I'm not aware of that.
Okay, do you think that could be a problem for your client?
No, I don't. I think there's a big distinction from what just the brief part you said, Judge Moore, in that there's 45 minutes have gone by. It's one thing of getting out of the car because the officer wants you to get out of the car because he wants to run the dog around the car, which they do, and you're standing there, and the clear understanding is that you're going to be searched, then it's one thing. But in this situation, that wasn't the situation at all. In fact, I've been involved in cases where the officer did search around the car, and that's the other thing that just mystifies me, why the officer didn't run the dog around the car. If he had done that, it might have alerted at the items of the containers of my client behind the car, and if we wouldn't be talking here today if that had happened.
Mr. Brackle, at what point was it in all of this that your client got up and started walking away from the scene?
Right after, well, the video call that I looked at that I saw, it was when Officer Barry got out of his vehicle when he was writing the ticket, and he heard some commotion, so he got out. And his body cam showed him facing my client, and at that point she asked him for permission to leave. And as I saw it, that was roughly, or timed it, that was roughly 16 minutes into the incident. So I think that's when she got out, and she was adamant that she was going to go to her cigarette store. So I think there was no doubt in her mind or the evidence that she was going back into the vehicle. In fact, I think the officer, if you listen to the video or his body cam, tells her to get back in, but neither she nor the other person, Matthew Koss, got back in the vehicle. It, you know, it was hot. So it's one thing to tell somebody to do something if it's practical, but it wasn't practical here, Chief Judge.
So, Mr. Brackle, does that fact that she disobeyed a request by the police officer, coupled with his, I believe he testified he had knowledge of her prior illegal drug involvement, do those things give us reasonable suspicion to search her purse in addition to the methamphetamine pipe falling out of the driver's pocket?
And Judge Moore, I apologize. I wasn't paying attention to the, and I was looking straight ahead and I thought that was you because, and so I see you're over here, I apologize.
No problem, you can't see our
The big problem here. I'm having is that, of course, in the case of State versus Andera that I cited, and there's many other cases, not a single case, but basically there were five reasons why a person didn't need to get a search warrant. And of course, you know them by heart, I'm not gonna repeat them, but my point is, in light of that, and in light of the State versus Perry case, I don't think probable cause is really involved anymore with the automobile exception or searching of a person. I don't, and so I guess that's my position. I see my time's about out too. So, hey, if I don't get a chance to thank you for letting me talk to you, I thank you for letting me talk to you and argue with you.
Thank you. And before Ms. Klein gets started, I want to say, Mr. Brackle, no offense taken. I'm happy to be confused with Judge Moore anytime.
Okay. I'm sorry.
I agree with that.
God, my wife this morning, I thought I was going to argue, and she says, oh, gosh, you're not going to argue with these people, are you? And I said, no, not really.
Judge Moore may not feel the same way.
Okay, thank you. Thank
with this WebEx technology, so no problem. Thank you, Mr. Brackle.
Thank you.
Ready.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Please, the court. I'm Kimberly Klein, Assistant Attorney General representing the state in this matter. Your Honors, it seems to me part of the issue is not whether you can get a warrant, but whether you need to get a warrant. If probable cause exists for the officer to conduct a warrantless search, then it seems to me that probable cause exists for the officer to conduct a warrantless search. And the warrant becomes irrelevant at that point if he has probable cause to conduct such a search. And I believe under the circumstances of this case, as the district court found, that the officer did.
Ms. Klein, I'd like to have you pick up a little bit on some of the questioning at the latter part of our of Mr. Brackle's argument. With regard to the timing of all this, you know, I think as we talked about, there is an understanding that if her backpack had remained in the vehicle at the time reasonable suspicion or probable cause arose to search the vehicle, it would have been fair game. Right. But since she got out of the car with the backpack before that reasonable suspicion arose, you know, at the time, that really didn't arise. The basis to search the car didn't really arise for this officer until that pipe fell out of the driver's pocket as he got out of the car. Would you agree?
Not necessarily. I think reasonable suspicion was building throughout the circumstances while she was still in the car. According to the officer, he said the first thing that caught his attention while he was back in his cruiser is basically she was squirreling around inside the inside of the truck. And one thing that nobody mentioned, but that I thought was kind of peculiar, is that if Greenwood was the last person into the vehicle and was supposed to be the first person discharged from it, she was sitting in the middle between everyone, which strikes me as a little bit odd and probably did the officer too. It seems to me first in, last out should have been the order of parties in the thing, but it clearly wasn't.
Well, this may sound archaic, but I think guys tend not to say they would prefer the woman sit between. That may just sound a little bit archaic, but you know what I mean? What I'm saying is I don't think it's necessarily unusual that having the guest that's coming in later sit in the middle between these two men.
I don't know. I guess it does strike me as kind of odd, because if they're just going to take her a few blocks, they should just, you know, have Koss scooch over, have her get closest to the door. And then when they get to the cigarette store, she can just hop out without everybody having to do do-si-do to get everybody in and out of the vehicle.
Yeah. But so your point is that you believe reasonable suspicion was kind of starting to accumulate before the pipe ever fell out of the pocket.
Yes.
And I'm trying to really get a handle on cases like, you know, the U.S. Supreme Court case, Wyoming versus Houghton, which makes it very clear if it's in the vehicle that is now fair game to search, it's a legal search. We have our Supreme Court case, State v. Lang, about the purse that was in the car and is now on this passenger outside the car. But that there was also suspicion with regard to her and the purse before she ever got out of the car, because of the smell of marijuana, because she was fidgeting with her purse. This case is a little bit different. And that's where I'm trying to make sure that law is still applicable. Are you aware of any authority that says specifically when the container or the purse or backpack or whatever it is has been outside a vehicle before maybe the strongest part of the reasonable suspicion arises, is it still fair game because it had been in the vehicle?
I think it would still be fair game, because to hold otherwise would enable an individual such as Greenwood to simply grab her possessions, her fanny pack and her backpack, and hop out of the truck despite the officer's insistence that she stay in there, and basically jump out of the truck hanging onto her bags and saying, "Sanctuary, you can't touch this anymore." Yeah. Because I am no longer within the vehicle.
That and arguably the driver and the other passenger could stuff everything that might be illegal into that bag, right?
Exactly.
And have the passenger exit with the bag.
Exactly. And the fact that she was kind of squirming around inside there would also, and I know this is what the officer was thinking, even though he didn't really testify to it, is that she's probably trying to hide something out of there. And so if she jumps out of the truck with her, either that or she's putting something in there, one of the two. And if she jumps out of there hanging onto her backpack and fanny pack, then she's going to be able to just hang on to it and say, no, you can't touch this. And that strikes me as an odd rule of law, that if you're still in the vehicle, you're subject to search, but if you grab everything that's illegal and hop out of it, that you are suddenly immune from search and the officer needs to detain you even further to obtain a search warrant. That doesn't strike me as a very good rule of law.
And Ms. Klein, am I correct in recalling this officer was familiar with all three individuals in the vehicle at the time he came up alongside of them? Is that correct?
Yes, it is. And
all he had three prior of them, experience with all three of them?
Yes. And specifically,
how does that play into this, as opposed to an officer who would not have had any such prior knowledge.
It seems to me it adds perhaps marginally, but it adds somewhat to the quantum of reasonable suspicion and later to probable cause, because he knows that they're involved in, or they have been involved in drugs in the past, and the likelihood that there might be, that might factor into it, into the circumstances, is certainly playing around in the back of the officer's mind. And it's a factor to be considered in determining the quantum of reasonable suspicion and probable cause. Your Honors, I think the district court made specific findings of fact both after the motion to suppress and at the basically stipulated trial. We believe those should be, they're pretty good and they are adequate to support the conviction in this case. And unless there are further questions, we would ask that the judgment be affirmed in this matter.
Any further questions?
No.
Well, thank you.
We have no further questions, Ms. Klein, so thank you very much. Mr. Brackel is out of time. We do appreciate both of you appearing via WebEx today. Your case is now submitted and you are excused.